Hello, welcome to You Haven't Blanked That. I'm Forrest.
And this is Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest.
So this week we watched a little movie called The Conversation.
The Conversation.
As part of Francis Ford Coppola Month.
FFC. Or do you not feel like his name should be like with a J? Francis James Coppola?
No.
Francis
Ford.
J.
Coppola. Ford.
Stupid name.
Ford.
Anyways.
Ford.
Ford.
Jimmy, you got a description of this movie?
I do. A paranoid secretive surveillance expert has a crisis of consciousness when he suspects that a couple he is spying on will be murdered. Dun dun dun.
So, what'd you think of this movie?
I visually, I thought it was fantastic. That's Francis,
yeah,
J. Coppola's
Francis J. Coppola.
But that's just his style. I love so much. But the sound I thought was pretty dope.
About how they were like
distorting the audios. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. Also, what was interesting too was the story was like cool. It was a noir, but it was so like I didn't hate it. I feel like I don't appreciate it because I don't know. I don't know.
Like, you don't know what the fuck was going on?
For the first time. And then
I
watched it halfway. I'm like, hold on, I'm missing stuff. Let me start over again. And then I was watching it. And like, it's because it starts off very random in New York City where the main guy, was it Henry?
Hackman. Hackman.
Yeah, he's...
Gene Hackman, yes. Yeah.
So, but his character's name is Henry, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so Henry is like spying on these two people, and like you hear the same conversation over and over again, and then like you realize like, you don't know what's going on, and that was confusing me. I'm like, okay, but the fact that like he's tuning the sound to drop the background noise to get just the clear audio of what's going on, and it's just, I feel like this is a great movie. I don't grab everything, and I can't.
That was like my first read of Master and the Margarita.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of the religious, you know, parts of it. Yeah, like I get all the anarchy and the revolution parts. I was reading the book and I was talking to a friend of ours about it, and she's like, "Oh, Pontius Pilate," and I'm like, "Who's that?"
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know who that was.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, it's the guy who fucking ordered Jesus to get put on the cross, which is ironic that we're talking about that this weekend.
Oh, hey.
Because that happened.
Yeah.
Just a little while ago.
Yeah. But, like, it's one of those where it's, like, the story, like, I get the story. I get what's going on in the story. But, like, the sub-story, like, the meaning, the references going back and forth.
Which part, like, were you...
Because, like, it was one of those where it's, like, you're repeating that audio over and over again. Obviously, there's an issue. There's an issue with your conscious knowing that fully well that, like... Because you don't find out that they're scared about being murdered. He has an idea, like, the husband might be upset, the director. But, like, you don't know what's going on. And then when he gets clear audio of, like, him saying, like, we'll be killed, you know...
Yeah,
we'll
he'll kill us.
Yeah, he'll kill us. Then you're like, okay, cool. And then this is where like it's like, okay, well, what's going on? But at the same time, it's like, what internal emotions is Coppola trying to like pull out of this? Like, I that's where I got confused because I didn't fully grab it. But I think it's just my lack of understanding like what he's trying to say. But that doesn't mean I don't like this movie. I think it's visually great. I think it could potentially be one of my favorite movies, but I don't know it because I don't understand it enough to be like, yeah, this is a great film. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's interesting though. It's really, because it's a noir story. It's a detective story, but then also you get this world.
But it's like, not your normal detective. Like, yeah. It's not like you're and in another detective story, he would actually probably be a bad guy, or at least like a fucking side character bad guy, like a henchman of some sort.
And this is interesting too, because this story was written before Watergate, so he kind of predicted Watergate through this movie too, because like there's a whole thing about like how Harry ended up like collecting audio from a president and a secretary talking about a murder that happened.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, oh, interesting that. And then, like, I think a couple of years later, it was Watergate. Yeah. And then it was the same recording espionage thing. So it was like...
Did you ever see All the President's Men?
No.
It's about them, like...
The Watergate?
Breaking that open.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a movie that Spielberg made called The Post.
Deep Throat?
No.
But that...
Well,
that porno was kind of like the...
Yeah,
the movie to like kind of hide them passing secrecy.
No,
porn, so. Bringing the world together.
And then
fighting evil.
So this doesn't ruin the Post, the Spielberg movie, The Post.
Uh huh.
So you watch All the President's Men, and Jason Robards plays this guy who runs the newspaper that the two guys are from. That the two guys who, and it's Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, I think.
Yeah.
And then you watch The Post. And The Post is pretty much a prequel to All the President's Men.
Okay.
To the point where, at the end of The Post, this isn't ruined.
Yeah.
That's the story for The Post. But Tom Hanks goes, oh, that's about the weirdest thing that's ever happened. And then the next scene is them breaking into Watergate.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And all that. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So you can literally watch The Post and then go into it. And then, so the character that Tom Hanks plays... is the same character that Jason Robards plays.
It's a bummer, though. I can't watch that movie.
Why? Because you don't like Tom Hanks?
Because, yeah, I don't watch movies with pedophiles, which is hard, because everybody in Hollywood... He's not a pedophile. Okay. Yeah, but... I'll probably give it a watch. Yeah, no, that's cool, though. But, like... When did you see this movie?
A few years back.
Okay.
So I've got a... list of Spielberg movies. It was rumored that these were the movies that he wanted everybody to kind of watch before they work with him, type of things.
Okay.
And it's a good list, but then it was debunked later by Edgar Wright, because Edgar Wright worked with him on Tintin.
Oh, okay.
He wrote him and what's his face that did Attack the Block wrote the Tintin movie.
Okay.
And Spielberg directed it. Did you ever see the Tintin movie?
No, I heard
it's not bad.
Yeah, I heard it's okay.
It's fine. It's. I mean, if you like Tintin, he. If there's someone who's gonna reboot Tintin and do it right, it's gonna be him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they did that. But it's this list of movies. It's a really good list of like movies. I would say from like the early 80s to before.
Uh-huh.
And I watched a good amount of movies. There's a lot of Hitchcock on there, and a lot of like, you know, just like things that he was watching.
Yeah.
And so I there's a bunch of movies I watch. That's how I saw Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. That's how I saw The Sweet Bird of Youth. Did you watch that yet?
Not yet.
Oh, so good.
But yeah, like overall, like, I mentioned this to a few people.
That you're watching this?
Yeah, a lot of them didn't know this movie. The ones that did were like, oh, that's a fantastic film. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Like, yeah. And then, but when I watched it, I'm like, I know I'm missing stuff because it was, I was watching very surface level and I was trying to get into it. And I just need to give it another watch. But I think I need to like maybe read about the production a little bit more to kind of like get myself like hyped up to
rewatch. He did this movie in between Godfather 1 and 2.
Yeah, because he got nominated for this one and
Godfather
2 at the same time because they released.
They were like in the same year, cycle. Yeah, that same.
And then so he was nominated for both, and it was just kind of funny that like, you know, it was like he was against himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like,
overall,
I thought it was really good, and then like the ending too was interesting because depending on how you look at it, changes it like quite a bit.
Because, well, there's a few things like first off, did you like seeing young Harrison Ford?
Yeah. Yeah,
not mumble face Harrison Ford, like talking like normal Harrison Ford.
Young Harrison Ford.
Okay, so the other guy, John Casale,
uh-huh.
that was working with Hackman, and that he was his worker.
Yeah,
That's Fredo. Fredo is, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he only did, like, 4 or 5 movies. Yeah. You know about him, right?
No.
Okay. So, he does, like, 4 or 5 movies. He does Godfather 1, Godfather 2, this movie, and I think Deer Hunter, and Dog Day Afternoon.
Okay.
And he was a really good Broadway actor, and he died. He had cancer. And died of cancer, I think, after Deer Hunter. Because I think he's okay. In Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
I think Deer Hunter was his last movie. There's a movie about him. There's a documentary about him. But he was engaged to Meryl Streep. Like, he was, like, Meryl Streep and him were, like, together. So that's why, yeah. I think that's why she's kind of been kind of, like...
Like, off.
Kind of off on her own, like, didn't do anything. Because I think she was, like... They were supposed to get married, and he got cancer. I think he got, like, stomach cancer and died.
That's terrible.
But he's, like, he was good and everything. Like, it's that's one of those, like, it sucks because every movie he was in, he was fucking great.
Yeah,
because, like... You've seen Dog Day. You've seen both those Godfather movies.
Yeah.
They made a book... And I wonder if they would have done this if they would have done this in the movie. So they did sequels. Did you know they made sequel books to The Godfather?
Yes, my sister was huge into The Godfather books.
Okay, so they did that. But so they make one where this guy made one, and I remember reading the back of it where like Fredo's ghost comes and sees Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Goes and sees him, and because he. You know, fucking shoots him in the fucking lake and leaves him there.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it's like his ghost, like, had come out of the water and goes to see him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, with this one, like, it's, Hackman does a really good job
of being fucking a throw very... Throw a rock and Hackman does a good job.
Dude, right? But this one, like, he's very, keep the world at a distance, keep everybody away.
Well, he knows.
Because he can't let anybody get close to him.
Yeah.
Because,
well, that whole part with Harry Garr.
Yeah, and when you see him, like, when he gets close to certain people, he's vulnerable and he gets fucked over and he just can't handle it. Because even when the guy planted the pen in his pocket, which, by the way, that scene where he plants that pen in the pocket... Nonchalantly, I saw it and I'm like, why are we focusing on that so much? And they're like, because it was on for like it was a second where he put it in.
Did you held it? Was it like what do you call it? Glass Onion, where you saw it?
Yeah, where you see it, you don't think about it, but you're like, that's kind of important, but like, I don't see why. But then you find out it's a microphone and recorded this conversation and him freaking the fuck out and throwing everybody out. You're like, oh man, like how are you like functioning? You know what I mean? Obviously, and then like you get that. The ending where, like, depending on how you see it, whether it's his own psyche just fucking snapping at, like, his conscience, like, weighing on him to where a point he snaps and he's visualizing this potential murder that happens, or there's an actual murder that happens. Like, you know, it's like...
Read that there was a murder that happens, like...
You see it as a murder happened and that's what it is?
Yeah, like, he was wrong. Like, he was right that something was going to happen, but he read everything wrong.
So... Then, like, so the toilet with the blood coming up, like, you know, like, that, like, that's, I feel like that's his mind.
That's his psyche.
That's his psyche, and I feel
but
like
But I feel like, so then you feel like he broke there, and then that it's not a real murder.
Yes.
That's what you feel.
Right, no?
That's what I
was like, okay, cool, and then, like, okay, well, let's, then I was trying to think back of the film, because I didn't want to watch it again for a third time, and I'm like, okay, well, let's figure out what happened, but, like, it's just, you see him breaking... When he starts to let people in, and then like it gets to the point where now he's committed to these people that he doesn't. At first, it was just a job. Now he's worried about their livelihood, and he's let them come into him, and now he's caring about them. Doesn't want them to die, so he's bringing them in, and now he can't live with it. And like that breaking of himself doesn't work for him because that's not who his job and who he pretends to be. So obviously, I feel like that's him. Wanting to be a real person with feelings and with other people, and like he has to, his brain makes him imagine that murder for him to be like able to start connecting with people.
But
because like you can tell he's lonely.
But when he goes, doesn't he try to go back to when he goes back to see Harrison Ford? Like,
yeah,
Robert Duvall's not fucking there.
Yeah,
he's gone, he's dead.
But I still think that's part of it, I still think that's all part of it. No?
Nah, that's not how I read that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could read it. It's fucking art. Yeah.
But, that's why I was like, okay, maybe...
So then explain how, when he gets there, why Robert Duvall's not there. Is this because it was one of those times when he wasn't there, like you were, like before?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Robert Duvall, fucking great and everything.
Yeah, dude. Like, honestly, like, there's, like, the whole, I'm a very private person. I have a lot of friends that I keep them all separated, and it's one of those where it's like, and it's not because I don't want everybody to come together, it's just I know everyone's going to clash and not like each other, and it's going to be just a big old issue.
We threw some parties and everything was fine.
Everything was fine. Yeah, exactly. But like, I think that's just my own, like, keep things separated. But that's just my doing.
I never tripped up on that.
Well, I still have people that don't like each other. But yeah,
that's not my fault.
I stopped caring about like worlds colliding because I'm like, honestly, I just don't care. You guys don't get along. I'm like, not my issue. Yeah, like this movie about privacy. Like, I don't feel like I'm a private person. Like, I don't hide things very like, oh yeah, like this is a secret. Nobody, like, whatever. It's a good movie. I know obviously it's about privacy, but it's like, I feel like there's more that they're trying to pull out, and I feel like if I get that, I'll like it way more.
There's a couple things that this reminded me of. Okay. Did you ever see the movie Enemy of the State?
Yes.
Okay. That Gene Hackman character?
Yeah.
Is the rumor is that that is the same character from this.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's wearing the same jacket, that kind of jacket at the end. They're wearing the same type of jacket.
That's so interesting.
You know, I'm talking about the jacket that he's wearing at the end, the kind of clearish.
Yeah, I might have to rewatch that movie. That's a cool reference. I like that.
And then, did I ever tell you about the Orwell game that I played?
Orwell? No.
So this game
about the Oh no, I think it's someone else. Go ahead.
So this game called Orwell. You are a guy who's like, you're going through all this information, and you got to figure out like where to send the cops to. So you're like, so there's all this public information. So what happens at the beginning of the game, there's a bombing.
Okay.
And there's going to be more bombings throughout the game. And you have to investigate who may have done the bombing, and you look at the video and who was all there. And you're like, oh, I recognize this person. And then you got to dig through all the public information that you can find to find this person's information, find out where they are. And so then you figure it all out. And then, like, you're like, okay, well, we can keep an eye on this person over here. Like, you're monitoring all these people. Mm-hmm. And then you go to another one, and then it's like, all right, well, this group has said there's going to be a bomb somewhere. You got to figure out where the fucking bomb's going to go off at.
Yeah.
And you got to do that. But you're watching it, like, you're surveilling, and you're listening to audio, and you're doing this. It's like a four-hour game. It's a fucking fast game. But it's a kind of detective-y type game, too.
Okay.
But it's a computer game.
Yeah.
But you're not, like, you're just reading stuff. Like, the whole game is reading stuff, and listening to things, and watching video, and reading news articles, and just clipping information from there and putting it into a file for this person.
Yeah, okay.
It's interesting.
Kind of like what this...
That game reminded me of this.
In the beginning, when like I thought that mirror van was like a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Controlling when the girls were up there putting the lipsticks, and that creeper was with the camera taking pictures of them. Which, obviously, could never have happened because the girls would have heard exactly what was going on
inside
the
van. The other thing, they showed that part where he's in the hotel and the Flintstones are on.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of one of my favorite Norm jokes from Saturday Night Live. It was, apparently at one point the Spice Channel came on, but it had the video of a porn movie, like a softcore, and it had the audio of a Flintstones Flintstones episode, and the kids called it the best episode of the Flintstones I've ever seen.
That's funny.
But we ask a question each week.
Corey Feldman. I see him as the guy who planted the pen.
Yeah, like one of those guys. I'm not taking John Cazale out of anything.
No, yeah.
He didn't get to do as much.
Because, like, he's in it just enough to be there, but, like, honestly, his presence would be too distracting. You can't have somebody that the caliber of greatness be in that film. You know, he'd just steal the show.
We're using the word caliber and greatness. I think he'd be he can take the pin out of his pocket and then like moonwalk out of the building,
right?
And this Gene Hackman's just like giving him one of those.
You would too, because that scene would be great with him too. Because remember when he like he picks up the phone and then he has that harmonica and he blows into it, that little whistle, and then he says, "Look, now it's answered the phone on the other side without it ringing." Mm-hmm. And then they're like, "Oh, how crazy! How cool is that?" And then it's his wife having a conversation about like cheating on her husband. Like, I feel like Corey would have, like, reacted to that fantastically.
told me to ask you about something.
Oh, what?
Banging the ex Playboy model.
Oh my god, are we putting. Okay, yeah. Do you need me to take this off? No, I can. Well,
if it's. If you don't like it, we'll do it. If you need me to take this out, just tell me. I'm not editing for a week, or I probably won't edit for a week.
This is a while ago. This is like a month ago. So I ended up going to this bar in.
Hold on. Can you say the name and I'll edit the name out? Like, that's fucked up. But
the girl's name?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What do you mean you don't know? Then how do you know she's a fucking Playboy model?
So let me explain the story. So I'm at a bar, and I'm there with a buddy. We're watching the hockey game, and everything's going fine. And then there's this, like this hot girl just walking there. And I was like, okay, cool. When she turns around, I'm like, oh, she's a lot older than I thought.
How old are we talking?
Maybe late 50s, early 60s.
Okay, so
she... But she looked like she was, like, maybe 22, 24 from the back. So I was like, okay, cool. Like
they do.
Yeah, and then so I was like, okay, and then, like, she was there with some guy, and he was ignoring her, so, like, I was, after my buddy's dad passed away, I've been playing a lot of Bob Seger, and so she was like, who put Nine Moves on? And I'm like, oh, that's me. And she high-fives me, and then she's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. She's, like, talking to me, and then, like, I'm like, whatever. And then I play ZZ Top, and I play just old classic rocks. Yeah. And every time she's like, you know, like fist bumping me, you and like, hey, good choices. And then she's like, I want to pick a song. And then she comes up behind me, and she puts both her boobs between my left arm, and then she squeezes them together, and she puts her arms around my neck, and then she gets really close, and she's like, let me pick a song. How does this work? And she's getting really close. She starts like kissing my neck. I'm like, what the fuck? So I turn around to see where a guy is. He's nowhere to be seen. So I'm thinking, oh, he's probably in the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, cool. And then so she's like picking songs, and then her boyfriend comes back, and she runs back over. Like, hey, let me play a song. And then like he gets a phone call or something. He goes outside, and she comes back over. And she goes, oh my god. Like, I was like, oh, do you like motorcycles? I drive a motorcycle. I'm like, oh, that's cool. She goes, let me show you. And then she's opening her phone, and I see the motorcycles, and the folder says motorcycles, and she scrolls right past it. And I'm like, okay. And then she goes over, and it's just a folder with just tits. And she goes, click. And then she's like screaming through the nudes, and it's just her. And I'm like, okay. And then it's her when she was younger. And then she goes, look at this one. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong photo. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I'm not complaining. The tits are nice. And she's like, oh yeah, this is me. And then she's going through her thing. She goes, I was in Playboy, blah, 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 in 89. This is me. This is like my pictures. I was like, were you centerfold? And she goes, no, I wasn't centerfold, but like, I was there. You know, I was like, I'm like, okay. And she's like,
did you go back and look and try to figure it out?
No, because I didn't know her. I never asked for her name.
No, I know, but you didn't go back and be like, look, there's a Wikipedia.
The only time I have time to go online is at work. So yeah, I'm not Googled it. But I know exactly what she looks like, and I know what she was wearing, so I could probably figure it out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And so like we're like, oh, like blah, blah, blah. And then like the boyfriend comes back in, and he gives me a dirty look. And then so she kind of goes back over, and she's like, he's like talking to somebody else. And then I go outside to vape, and then she like comes after me. She goes, hey, like do you want to see my bike? It's attached to the back behind the RV. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she would go to the RV, and there's no bike there. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then she starts undoing my pants. I'm like, oh, okay. In the middle of the parking lot, like there's a busy 7-Eleven like 100 feet away. And she starts blowing me. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay. He's like, oh, what about your boyfriend? He goes, like, he won't know. I'm like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden she just gets up, pulls down her panties, lifts up her skirt, and I'm like,
okay.
All right. Ass, still phenomenal. Boobs?
Not so much.
Still great. It had the, which is a weird thing, because, like, I didn't like it before, but now I'm really liking it. It's the crease, like, that sun crease, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the age lines?
Yeah,
like,
I gotcha.
Yeah. I like it.
Where it looks like chicken skin?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Oh, man. So, yeah, that was crazy. And then, as that was going on, I didn't get to finish, because, my buddy came, I was like, hey, it's like, he was, like, calling me, like, I kind of, like, pulled up, and he was like, hey, like, a guy's looking for, I'm like, oh, shit, so, and I was like, time to go, and so we just took off after that. It was a good night.
That sounds like it. So, that leads me to the next movie I watched. Have you seen Poor Things yet?
Poor Things. Oh, no, I have not. It's been popping up like a bunch. That's the one with the girls all weird, right?
Emma Stone.
And
she's just getting...
Bruce Banner.
And Bruce Banner. It's pretty much just Emma Stone gets plowed throughout the movie. That's all it is, really. Emma Stone just getting plowed.
Yeah.
And it's like a weird Frankenstein type of thing.
Okay.
I didn't like it. It was meh.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that guy's movies. Like, did you see The Lobster?
Yes.
Like, that was it's weird. Not like David Lynch weird. It's I feel like he's trying too hard. Like, David Lynch is just a weird person.
Right.
But he's a nice person.
But he tries to make his weird normal for people to understand.
He explains his weird, but yeah. He does it in a way. This guy's just being weird for weird fucking sake.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I watched a movie called Next Goal Wins. Oh, your pops might like this movie. It's a soccer movie.
Okay.
It's Taika Waititi.
Okay.
And it's about this team that keeps losing. Okay, remember that team?
Oh, I did see a trailer for this.
The one where the team in, like, Australia or whatever, yeah. They lost, like, huge. Like, I had a huge loss.
Yeah.
And then this coach goes and works with them to get him to win. And so, he works with them and tries to get him to play better.
Okay.
It's really good. I think your pops will like that movie.
I'm assuming it's funny because it's...
It's funny.
Yeah.
Not his best, but, like, not as bad as everybody said it was. Like, everybody was making a big deal that they didn't like it. And I'm just like, no, it's a fucking sports movie. I mean, it's just him doing it's him doing a sports movie.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And, like, people made a big deal about it. You been watching Curb? Are you all caught up on Curb or no?
I'm not.
Where are you at? Like
a month ago.
So where's the, what's the last one you saw?
They did the dedication for, what's his face when he passed away.
Okay, so I... haven't seen that one. I'm on that episode right now where he said, I'm going to leave you all my money.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. So I got part of it, and then I had to stop because the kids were coming in, and the kids were, Vince Vaughn was talking about, maybe you want to bang that girl?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the one where he's drinking, like, the flask on the...
If it is, I haven't gotten that part yet. I do like the episode before that with the lawn jockey.
How great was that? Yeah.
That was one of the best bits I've ever seen on a show ever with his hair dye.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, but I'm liking the scene that they're doing where they're setting up jokes
later on.
Like an episode before.
Yeah.
And they're having it pay off in like an episode or two down the line. Yeah, or yeah. even with the whole Sophia thing, like that's a joke from like a season ago that's finally paying off now.
Yeah.
So I like what they're doing with that, and I wish they didn't really do that at the beginning. Like, I feel like they did that when they started getting back in these last three or four seasons that they've been doing. Yeah.
So this is the last one, right?
This is the last season, is what they say. But I'm liking it.
So I started rewatching it, too.
Did you start from the beginning again?
From the beginning, and then it's a rougher first season when you get to, like, the charm of, like, the later seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, man, they've aged so much.
Well, they've been doing that. How long do you think they've been doing the show for? Yeah, they've been
doing it for a long fucking
time. That's why he left Seinfeld. So, yeah. I mean, he left that, and that started, like, 1999.
So, yeah, so, like, from there to there, you're like, oh, man. Because even Leon looks old as shit, too. You're like, oh, dang.
Well, he wrote for Saturday Night Live at some point. I've seen him do stand-up. He's fucking funny.
That's cool.
Well, he's fucking funny on that show. That's all ad-libbed.
Yeah.
I'm reading a comic called Essex County from Jeff Lemire.
Okay.
Jeff Lemire's a good writer. You've seen his stuff. He's the one that kind of does. What's
it about?
It's about this kid in Canada.
Okay.
And like, he lives on the farm, and he's living with like his uncle, and he meets like this giant ass hockey player, and he's kind of all like punch drunk from playing in the NHL.
Yeah.
It's good. Jeff Lemire makes like a lot of really good comics, like a fucking ton of great comics, he puts them out like crazy. He kind of does the Ben Affleck thing, like you do your art film and then you do your fucking popular shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he's been doing, he drew a little bit on, he writes and he draws, and sometimes he just writes.
Yeah.
But he's really good. He has one called The Underwater Welder that I want to do because it's kind of Twilight Zone-y.
Okay.
That you would dig. Essex County's really good. He's one of my favorite, like, his indie shit's really, really good. I'll throw it your way when I'm done.
Okay, cool.
I read the book, The Exorcist.
Oh, the book.
Yeah, the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was good. It's the movie. I mean, the same guy who wrote the movie wrote the book.
Oh, okay.
I watched an old noir movie called Jigsaw. I watched that Adam Sandler movie, Spaceman.
Okay.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was based on something Swedish, if that makes sense. And I finally bought a movie. What movie? The Alex Cox movie, Walker.
Walker.
Remember the one with that we have about the Joe Strummer does the music for?
Oh yeah.
And the one I've been looking for fucking ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bought it.
Where'd you find it?
The used bookstore.
Oh, nice.
$20. And it's so good. It's the movie he made, it's around Straight to Hell.
Okay.
So I think it goes Repo Man, Sid and Nancy, Straight to Hell, and then Walker. I think they were made they were made months apart.
Oh, okay.
Because he was scouting out locations for Walker.
Oh, okay.
And Walker it's fucking weird as shit. I should have brought it for you to borrow. It's fucking weird as shit. Like, not like you know how they play it up in Straight to Hell?
Yeah.
Like, Straight to Hell. And Repo Man's just fucking Repo Man, and it's just weird. Did you hear he's making a sequel to Repo Man, by the way?
Good. Next week.
No, he hired somebody that's going to be...
I felt like it always needed a follow-up.
Well, he wrote a comic follow-up.
Okay.
So he hired somebody. They're doing it. It's going to be a sequel that happens like a day after the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
He hired someone to look like he's going to dress everybody up. I hope they get the Circle Jerks back. I'm not going to lie. I hope
that they dressed exactly the same.
No, that's what I'm
talking about. I mean, I hope the visuals are all the same.
I think that's what he's going to try to do.
Yeah.
But I hope he gets the Circle Jerks again because it'll be a really great bit to see everybody like see him in one movie and they're like young playing the jazz band in there and then like... They're all fucking old in the next scene.
That'd be cool.
That'd be fucking hilarious. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest.
So next week is Stanley Kubrick month, and we're going to watch a movie called Paths of Glory.
Path or paths?
Paths, plural.
Ooh.
Next week.
Well, that's going to do it for the episode this week. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at our Instagram.
At yhblankthat.
Or you can email us at yhblankthat@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.